Hello, friends. This is your friend, Kent C. Dodds, and I'm joined by my friend, Natter Devitt. Say hi, Natter.
Hey, how's it going?
Super happy to have you here, Natter. So today we're going to be talking about something that I think is a really important topic. But before we get into all of this optimistic, positivity, and load that into the ears of the people listening, I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself, Natter, and tell us a little bit about what makes you tick.
Yeah, so I'm Natter Devitt. I've been a developer since I was around 29, and I live in Mississippi. Love to travel and have a job that lets me do that quite a bit, but kind of toning it down now because it's gotten a little out of hand. So trying to spend more time with my family these days.
That I've noticed that kind of happens. Like people get who love to travel, just really get into it. And then the thing is that you can schedule all of these things. And at the time you're scheduling it, it's like, oh, this is going to be so cool. And then pretty soon you've got like 4 weeks where you're home, like, you know, just on weekends or something.
Yes. It's so hard to say no to things sometimes for me. Yeah. I think that kind of gets you in trouble, especially coming from a time when I didn't have a lot of opportunities to now I have a lot of opportunities. So I'm kind of still in that mindset where I'm just like saying yes to everything when I should probably be a little bit more picky. And I kind of have been lately. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, you just be a little bit more intentional about the things that you say yes to. I think that's probably something that is a good takeaway just from our little intro here. It's like be intentional about the things that you're agreeing to, and also like be, I don't know, just be self-aware, make sure that you're the things you're saying yes to are things that you actually want, and that you're not going to paint yourself into a corner.
I'm reading Tools of Titans right now, and I really was looking at that book like it would not be of interest to me at all, but I heard so many people recommend it, and so I decided to start reading it, and I like it a lot. One of the main takeaways though was really along the lines of this, and it was basically, like early on in your career, when you don't have any opportunities, you should take every opportunity that you have, because you'd never know what's going to be like that golden ticket or what's going to be something, you know, great. And of course, early on, you might have the time to do that. But as you become more successful, when you have more opportunities coming up, you get to a point where if it's not a hell yes, then it's a hell no, basically. So if you can't just be like really pumped about something, you should maybe think about just saying no to it. And then because when you have more things going on, your time is just more limited. So you do have more and more opportunities coming in. And, you know, the chances are some of those opportunities are going to be really good. And you can kind of then have the time budget to take those things on.
Yeah. Like, does this spark joy? You know, Marie Kondo thing. Very good. So great. So as we get started, one thing that I just wanted to ask you about a little bit was, we live, in a world where, you know, we live kind of our time is, we're so like full, there's so much information coming at us all the time. And it like back in the olden days before we had the internet and newspapers and whatever, a really terrible tragedy could occur on the other side of the world. You would have no idea what is going on there. A total massacre, and you just don't hear about it your entire life. But now if one person has some sort of tragedy, or even if like a celebrity stubs a toe, like we know about all of the negative things that are going on in the world, all the injustices. And one thing that, that you talk about a fair amount is, being optimistic and positive about the state of the world, the direction, that we're going. How do you manage to do that when we're bombarded with all the negativity in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot about educating yourself and kind of knowing the truth behind everything that's happening in the world. And in my experience in general, that basically means kind of like, you know, understanding just as much as possible, just reading as much as possible, knowing as much as possible. And there are two books, I think, in particular that kind of like go into this, that what we're talking about right now. And one of them is Factfulness. And I think Bill Gates like bought Factfulness for like every college graduate a couple years ago because he thought it was such an important book. And the other book is Better Angels of Our Nature. And both of these books are basically statistical looks at everything that's happened over the last 2,000 or 3,000 years. And they basically break down every 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, and they kind of analyze how life is now compared to how it was 100 years ago or 200 years ago. And statistically, we're just basically living in the best and the safest and just the most prosperous time in the history of the world. And it's by a long shot. It's just by far. So I think that alone, just educating yourself and knowing that is really a really awesome thing, because, you know, of course, that doesn't mean like you should be okay with bad things happening in the world, because there's still, you know, so many things that can be improved, but at least we're on the right track. And at least when you hear someone saying something negative, you actually have some data to kind of like back up, because a lot of times, you know, we do have a lot of things like school shootings, for example, and, you know, these things taken out of context of the big picture, they're really bad and we need to improve those things. But a lot of times you'll hear general things like, oh, the world is just so bad right now, when in reality, statistically, it's kind of like better than it was, but we still have a long way to go. So
yeah, sure. Like we hear, the fact is that we just hear about it more often than we used to.
Right, but
like if you think about, you know, hundreds of years ago, people were dying like crazy, and people were being treated way worse than we do today. And that's not an excuse for today, but at least it doesn't mean that you can just say, oh, like, why do I even live my life? It's so bad. You know, like it can be really paralyzing to feel like you live in a world that is just beyond saving, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, just having that understanding, I guess, and every time you hear something, trying to analyze, you know, is this thing something to really be frustrated about or angry about or stressed out about? Just kind of understanding as much as that you can in the world in general will kind of like, I think, help you become more of a positive person in general, because you'll be able to tell the good from the bad better, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it will enable you to make as impactful a difference on the world as possible, because yes, like there are so many things that are wrong with the world, and like we need to be cognizant of that. And finding the area where we can make the most positive impact, I think, is a really good thing. And so, having a better picture of the state of the world, and this maybe more specifically the state of the area of your influence, you can start making more intentional and direct changes to areas where you can make that kind of an impact. Which, you know, I think that's probably pretty important.
Yeah.
So, what are your strategies for approaching negativity that you, or I guess maybe before I get to that, where are the different places that you typically find this kind of negativity? Is it just on certain sites on the internet, or do you experience this, you know, or notice this negativity in other places and have to be like mentally prepared for dealing with those kinds of things?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it kind of depends on how your mind is wired. You know, I think some people's minds are wired to be optimistic, although, like, you know, just for whatever reason, maybe the way they grew up or something. And some people are more pessimistic than others. Depends like what part of the world you were growing up, how you were raised, the things that you went through, you know? So I think it kind of just depends. And for me, some of the things that I've had to deal with growing up in Mississippi and being part of like an Arab family. And also I went to a school that was like overly like racist, to be completely honest. And I just was very, I saw a lot of people go through a lot of bad situations. I personally went through quite a bit. So I kind of grew up coming out of school, like thinking the world was against me almost. And that causes me just automatically, like the way that my mind was wired through some of the experience that I had, to assume like the whole world was like that. But in reality, it's not like that at all. In fact, depending on what community you're in, it could be better or worse. But I feel like the developer community has been just unbelievably really good for me, and good for a lot of people that have maybe come from, you know, negative backgrounds or negative situations, because, you know, we have work to do. Again, just like anything else, we have things that we can improve. But what I've found is that most of the people that are out there, successful or not, that I've reached out to help, and vice versa. I've tried to do the same. I've been really, really kind and really helpful. And the more successful people seem to be, the more helpful people even. So like people that are, that have done a lot of interesting things and that I look up to, a lot of times I was like looking at these people as like role models, and I still do. Actually, once you get to talk to those people, you realize that they're just like everyone else, and they're really, they're there to help you. So I think, I don't know, for me, you know, over the last 10 years or so, I've been trying to, you know, build my career as a programmer. You know, it was intimidating to see people that had started earlier than me, people that were way more successful than me, maybe that were younger than me, or people that were doing stuff that I never thought I'd ever be able to do. To me, my mind automatically just goes into an area that's very negative and like self-deprecating even. And I think for me, the big change that happened for me was when I started trying to like single out those moments and try to catch myself and just tell myself, hey, like, you know, don't think that way. Automatically assume the best in everything. And over time, like your mind just starts to think that way, even if it didn't in the past. So,
oh, I love that, that concept so much. I want to talk about that a little bit more. So there's this book that I listened to recently, called Self-Compassion, The Science of Something Something. I'll add a link to that. But it's really good. Some of the exercises that she has you do in there are kind of strange. I didn't do them all, but there's a lot of like talking to yourself and like paying attention to the way that you're feeling. And the interesting thing is that internal voice that we have, that's like, you know, we think that talking to yourself is a sign of insanity, but we literally all do it. you know, maybe not talking out loud, so there is that internal voice, and the voice inside your head that is talking to yourself, is saying things to yourself that you would, unless you're a total jerk, you would never actually say to another person, about them. Right. And so we talk really like, just kind of instinctively, we talk really negatively toward ourselves, and that doesn't do anyone any good. And so being really mindful of yourself and just cognizant of the way that you're feeling, the way that you're talking with yourself, can make a pretty significant difference in your like inner happiness, which I think is a, you know, kind of a key thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that book, and I wrote it down. I'm gonna have to check it out now. And I think a lot of it has to do with assumptions too. Sometimes like negative assumptions about things that probably should not be that way, that you're, that sometimes your mind automatically will do. So instead of when you find yourself assuming something based on nothing, you should probably reevaluate what process went behind that, and maybe try to take a more positive view of it. This isn't to say that there aren't, again, negative things happening in the world and negative people that you should probably not be interacting with. But I think taking in general an assumption that unless you have a really big red flag, that assuming that something is going to be like negative without actually giving it a chance is probably not a good idea. Also, when people talk, when people do things, when people succeed, even to me, would sometimes be very intimidating and like almost like cause a negative reaction in me because I was like jealous or something of those people.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. And this just kind of leads to internal turmoil and like, just mental problems. It can throw off your day. I totally relate to seeing someone else's success and feeling like that represents a failure on my part. Which is not a great way to live life either. We should be cheering for each other. And, you know, someone else's success is everyone's success, you know, so long as it's a positive success, I suppose. And so one thing actually that has helped me a lot, and I'm just going to throw this in there, is for the last about a year, I've been seeing a therapist. And I always thought that like, oh, a therapist, that's just for the people who like, don't have control over their lives. Well, I've come to realize that like, there's a very low threshold for being the type of person who doesn't have control over your life. And so either that, or maybe I'm just kind of extra out of control, but it has been remarkably helpful just to have somebody to talk through the things that I'm thinking about myself, the things that I'm thinking about others, and like the being intentional about the types of changes that I want to see in my thought processes and in my level of happiness. And so just having a regular time that I can talk with somebody about that has been really helpful to me.
So how often do you go? Is it like a monthly thing?
I'm every other week.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I've thought about that. Yeah. I haven't done it in a while. But yeah, I think I might have to try that too. I've actually been teetering on the edge of trying that. So I think you may have pushed me over the edge.
Dude, it's so great. Like there is a, just like this perception, around seeing a therapist, like people joke about it in movies and stuff like that, you know, or even in person. But it is totally, there's nothing taboo about, having somebody to talk with, about your life. So I definitely recommend it to anybody who can afford that. And if you can't, then find somebody, who's the nice thing about a therapist is that they're a total third party. So you can tell them about just like anything and they won't judge you, if they're a good therapist, and they won't, they don't have any skin in the game. And so it's a lot easier to talk with a total third party. So I do recommend it for sure. But like circling it back to our subject here, it helps, because I've been able to, you know, take an hour every other week to analyze, how am I doing mentally? What are my thought processes around the positive and negative things that I'm experiencing in my life? And if those things are good, then that's great. But if they're bad, which often like I can improve, what can I do specifically to improve myself and my perceptions of the world? Do you have any tips on like for people on how they can make that mental shift from, you know, seeing all this negativity and being really sad about it and maybe adding to the negativity and shifting from that to seeing the negativity, acknowledging it, but actually, seeing it for what it is and trying to make a positive impact on
the world. I mean, there's a couple of things that I'll talk about here, but, you know, one of them kind of comes from me having like a philosophy of life that I've kind of like come upon and I've read about a bunch of different things. And I've kind of like, I guess, really connected with the idea of stoicism. And I don't think this is for everybody, but I think some of the things that are taught here may be for, you know, good for everybody. But really, some of the things that are going on there. And I think a really good book to kind of get into that, if you're interested, it's called A Guide to the Good Life. And it's basically like a modern view and a modern take on stoicism. And two, I guess, of the main things there are mindfulness and appreciation of like what you have going on. And then the other is trying to recognize negativity when you start having it in your brain and your mind, and then being very mindful of when that happens and trying to flip it on its head and just recognize when those negative thoughts that come around that might not be, you know, they might not have any real base in anything that's real, but they're just kind of like, you know, in your head, kind of recognizing when those come about and instantly trying to analyze that and either flip it on its head or trying to realize whether or not it's kind of like a real thing to even be worrying about. And like the mindfulness part is kind of just living in the moment and really trying to not stress about things in the past or in the future, you know, and also just kind of like, appreciating that the good things that you already have going on instead of worrying about the things that might or might not happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that a lot. And I wonder, like, maybe one thing that people can do is consume less media in general. Because, like, I've noticed that... like if you're sitting there and you're like, you don't have anything to do, maybe you're waiting for your car to be fixed because you don't have an electric vehicle yet. sorry, I shouldn't insert that in, but you never have to get anything fixed with electric vehicles. They're amazing. So yeah, anyway, but you're sitting there, you're doing nothing. And you have an option on the type of thing that you can consume in that moment. Like for one thing, you could sit there and just like think, and just kind of be in the moment. Or you can, you know, you can get online, you can watch a YouTube video or whatever. Or you can read the local news, and it's not a bad thing to be informed on what's going on. But there comes a point where I have a friend who consumes a lot of local news, and that's just what she does, like all the time. She's just reading all the news articles locally, and most of them are like just all the terrible things that are happening in the world, and it brings with it a bunch of anxiety that I think is pretty unnecessary to subject yourself to. And so maybe another thing that you can do to cope with this kind of thing and maintain a spirit of optimism is to just consume a little less of that anxiety inducing negativity in the world.
I agree with that a lot. I'm a big fan of podcasts, of course, and I'm a big fan of books on tape. So if you're looking for something to replace that media at any point on like a trip somewhere in your car or even on the airplane, those are good places to go. It's kind of interesting. It's someone that's a developer advocate, and I'm very connected with the world and Twitter and all these different places online. I have to be online so much that it really takes, you know, a lot of effort not to get too consumed in some of that stuff. And yeah, you see so much stuff, and it does, without you even knowing it, like start causing negative emotions and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it kind of, it's part of the types of people that you follow. And like, again, I keep on bringing this up because I want to be very careful and make sure that people don't take it to an extreme and just block out what's going on in the world, because there are bad things that are going on and there is change that we can have, but there's only so many thoughts and prayers that you can send to people. Right. So instead of sending your thoughts and prayers to every single bad thing that's happening in the world, maybe you could learn about the bad things that are happening in an area where you have some influence. And so if you're working at a company and you know that there's some abuse going on there at the company, or maybe some harassment or something, maybe you can actually like get off of your rear end and go improve that situation and do something a little bit more active there, rather than just staying on Twitter or wherever and adding your thoughts and prayers to, you know, whatever catastrophe is happening. Not to say that thoughts and prayers are a bad thing. You know, I'm a religious person, but let's be a little bit more active, I guess, in improving our world. All the while recognizing that things are improving and the direction is a good one, and being happy with at least that, I guess.
And if you're listening to this, chances are you may be a developer. And if you are a developer, then you do have a unique opportunity to kind of help other people in this really fast growing, and there's so many people looking to do what we're doing. Just going out there and creating tutorials or doing workshops or whatever, helping people by teaching what you know, is really fulfilling. And it does also give you like a positive, you know, return on investment as far as how you feel, I think. And it's something that's helped me a lot, because I've noticed, and it may be a selfish thing to do because of that, but it's one of the reasons I do it, is that when I help people, I kind of like feel good about it, and, you know, it helps them, and it's kind of like a win-win situation, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, especially when you can create some free material that is accessible to people who aren't in a situation where they can pay for an online course, then you can help some people who like really could be in a really bad situation and pull themselves out of that bad situation, which is a really rewarding experience for sure. So I'm glad you mentioned that. So as we're coming close to the end of our time here, Natter, is there anything else that you want to give our audience on advice on how to be more like intentionally optimistic and positive influences in the world?
Well, one book that I'm really like, one of my favorite books that I've ever read, it's called The Obstacle is the Way. And it's kind of, again, along this stoic kind of material that you might consume as far as like different types of stoic philosophy and stuff like that. But it basically talks about trying to do things that most people don't want to do, and almost like trying to go after the hard things. And I've kind of really taken that on over the last few years, and it's been pretty rewarding. And I'm not saying just to do that, but I would recommend reading that book. And I came away with a lot of positive takeaways. And I would, I just recommend maybe checking that out if you're interested in some of the stuff that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm. No, we have a library of books for people to consume. And as I've been looking these up, most of them, if not all of them, have an audio version. And so if you want to listen, pick those up on Audible. Definitely something good to listen to rather than just consume all the negativity in the world. So that's great. I guess like the thing that we want to have people do as part of our homework for this week is to take every single day just for a week. So like the homework that I give you, the call to action here at the end of these episodes is not intended to be like change your life fundamentally right now, but to put you on a path to improving yourself, and whether it be career wise or personally or in your technical capabilities. This time I want you to take at least like just a minute or two every single day for a week and write one thing that you're optimistic about. Like there are so many cool things going on in our world right now. And the future is exciting. There are people doing things in this world that are improving things drastically for entire categories of people or entire places. And so if you can't think of one thing to be optimistic about, then maybe you should be seeing a therapist to help you be optimistic a little bit. So every single day this for just a week, take a minute, write down one thing you're optimistic about. And I think that by doing that, it will kind of start you on the path of changing your mindset on how you think about the negative things that you see in whether it be in social media or anywhere else, so that you cannot be paralyzed by those terrible things that are actually going on and actually are terrible, but be motivated to instill some change in the world.
Yeah, sounds beautiful to me.
I just about combined your first and last name with Nabbit.
It's definitely not the worst that I've heard. So it's all good.
Good. Well, cool. Is there anything else that you want to mention before we wrap things up here?
No, that's about it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Where can people find you online, Natter?
Dabit3 on Twitter, GitHub, and pretty much all the social media. So Dabit and the number 3.
Awesome. Cool. Well, it was a thrill chatting with you. Thank you so much for giving me some of your time and audience some of your time. And also to the audience, thank you for giving us a half hour of your time. Time is one of our most valuable assets and probably the most valuable asset. And so giving us some of your time. If you listen to this on 3X, then I guess it was only 10 minutes of your time. So there's that. Hopefully this was helpful to you. And we'll look forward to being in your ears next time. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you, Natter.